We were meant to be masters of destiny, not victims of fate.
All right, this is Pure Decking Show number 255 for whatever the fuck today is. I am Morps. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like how cyberpunk the world has gotten, information security, and trying to remember which sound clips are which, truth be told. Because it was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago that I cut most of these, and so I'm sitting there going through the list, and I'm like, I didn't remember what that was. Of course, you know, redneck bring out the GIMP. I guess it should be fairly obvious, but it's quite literally that guy saying, bring out the GIMP. I mean, so, but, or Masters of Destiny. It's like, what the hell is that? That's Reagan saying we're the Masters of Destiny. Well, okay, that makes sense. So,
Mr. Spider-Man, tear down this wall.
Mr. Spider-Man. Nice.
Mr. Spider-Man, he's not here.
Emergency!
Speaking of cyberpunk, Morps, I was watching streaming Walking Dead and had North Korean television open on Monday night.
How did you tell the difference between the two? They're both really
badly one was good. One was really good. The other one was CGI shit.
One was this horrible situation where people were fighting for their very survival in a world gone mad, and the other was The Walking Dead.
Anyways, it's cool. You can stream bug in your pirate TV and watch North Korea television.
I'm working on a little home server project right now that if anybody's ever looked into the shit like Sickbeard and NBZ Git and a few other tools like that, it is quite interesting what you can get an automated system doing in the background.
Yeah, one of those servers, can you name it Tom Cruise if you're going to put it in the closet?
I could name it Tom Cruise. Right now it's called Elsewhere, but I always found the joke. Where are you going to put it? Elsewhere. Oh, okay. Went to a LAN party with a server named the first version of Elsewhere, which was a server I built. Jeez, I wish my man was here. He'd remember, because he used that box 7 years ago? 8 years ago? A long time ago than that. Anyways, I took that server to a LAN party. And we were setting up, of all things, a World of Warcraft server on it, right? And because we thought that'd be badass to have our own private WoW server at a LAN party. And, you know, you level real fast and we go do the PvP stuff. And it actually was a lot of fun because I gave admin at rights to a couple of the guys with me, and one of them thought it'd be a great idea to grab Anixia, which was one of the bosses in that game, drop it into the starting zone, and change its model to be a rabbit. So we decided it must have been that rabbit from Monty Python, because it was flying around murdering people. It was fantastic. But,
good times.
Yeah, it was quite funny. Although it changed the model, but not the skin. So we scaled it right, so it was the size of a rabbit, but the skin was still all fucked up, so it looked pretty crazy. But that was a long time ago.
It literally did look like a demon rabbit.
Oh, yeah. You spawn in, and there comes the hell spawn. So it's just like, wrong game! Wrong game!
Yeah, run away!
You did not want to start the game as an undead. It just, you couldn't. There was nowhere to go. But if you started any other race where you weren't immediately murdered by the murder rabbit, kill one enemy, get 10 levels kind of thing. Because it was a 24-hour LAN party and nobody really wanted to spend hours grinding these things. Oh, what the hell. I forgot to do the intro anyway. Syntax, you just got drafted. What are you drinking?
What am I drinking? Nothing right now. I'm gonna get scotch here in a second.
Fox, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a coffee porter of my own making.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't brewed beer in a while. I got to get back into that. Are you? I'm afraid to ask. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a large glass of anguished cries of those who I've offended this week.
That's a tall glass. PSV, what are you drinking?
Water. I'm sorry.
Yeah, did you at least fluorinate it first?
It's American water.
That's dangerous, depending on where
that's
you live.
Living dangerously, man.
It's like, well, it came out of the pipe, and we think it's water. Might be
almost
green soda.
It's almost as good
it
as
it is
that,
green that. Color. That's normal, right?
Yeah. Sure. Like, it could be our African chocolate water.
Brando. God plants crave.
Yeah, bro.
What? You mean like from the toilet? Anyways, and I'm finishing off in Newcastle. So, anyways, let's get right into this, and I guess I should repost the link for Syntax, since he joined the party late. Not really late, since we started the show late. Let's see. Yeah, this is from Tech Dirt, and, you know, Tech Dirt's hit and miss on articles, but here lately they've had some better stuff. Last summer, we wrote about a potentially important case going to the Supreme Court, technically about the copyright design of cheerleading uniforms. As we've discussed, copyright is supposed to apply to artistic expression, and we've decided no cheerleaders should wear clothing at all. No, I'm kidding. That's not what it says.
That's what we say.
Yeah. Copyright is supposed to apply to artistic expression, and it's been considered not to apply to functional products or industrial design, sometimes referred to as useful articles. Along those lines, things like fashion design have always been considered not subject to copyright. In this case, Star Athletica versus Varsity Brands, the question was raised about the design of stylistic elements on cheerleading uniforms and whether one copy using similar elements on its cheerleading uniforms infringed on the copyrights of the other. A district court said no, appeals court said yes, and now the Supreme Court has weighed in saying that designs can be covered by copyright and creating a new test on such matters. Previously, there was something of a mess of different tests that judges would apply haphazardly. Having a single test seems better than a mismatch of competing tests, but this situation is potentially dangerous to a variety of innovations. Here's the test. We hold that a feature incorporated into the design of a useful article is eligible for copyright protection only if the feature, one, can be perceived as a two- or three-dimensional work of art separate from the useful article, and two, would qualify as a protectable pictorial, graphic, or sculptural work, either on its own or fixed in some other tangible medium of expression. If it were imagined separately from the rest of the useful article in which it's incorporated. In other words, if you can pull the design out of the useful article and it's still a design that's subject to copyright, copyright lives on for the entire thing. So if you put a useful design on a cup, you can now copyright not only that design, but the concept of a cup. And the article goes on saying this is going to fuck over people who like to play with 3D printing because now you can copyright, you know, shapes. So
you're saying technically tattoo artists have the copyright for mankind?
You know, taken to its logical conclusion, you may not be wrong.
Taking a Sharpie to a hooker. I own this bitch now.
At Great. First glance, I think there may be prior art. At first glance, this certainly seems to make sense. It's a fairly common sense feel to it. And the majority argues that the plain text of the law supports this interpretation. There's some pretty serious potential dangers here. In the article last year, Tech Dirt noted the implications for this case go way beyond cheerleader uniforms. You can touch any variety of products that might include some decorative elements, especially in the 3D printed world, where so many designs are shared and freely shared and modified. The deeper you get into this, the simple common sense ruling starts to get even more and more complex. For example, the majority notes that this test stands even if the removal of the work of art makes the original no longer useful. So the rest of this is going into an example of this. They've got a egg holder 3D print design. But So if you can take the artistic part of the useful design off, and the design is no longer useful, the copyright still stands. So if you have, again, using the example I've been using of a cup, where the entire thing is this artistic shape, and you take this artistic shape away, and it no longer is functional as a cup, doesn't matter. It's still, you can still copyright it. So this is going to lead to some weirdness, because you're saying that if you have an artistic element to an object, you can copyright the whole object. So somebody could then take your design and they've copywritten a similar design for like a pen. Well, now nobody else can make a pen with a, you know, okay, what's an example? You make a pen with a dragon on it. Well, you copyright that. Now nobody else can make a pen that's remotely similar at all. And, you know, I guess that'll let you fight knockoffs in the market, but I think you're going to see a lot of frivolous lawsuits come out of this. So
I'm just thinking of the transport industry to start with. Are these people fucking retarded?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to copyright the shape of a car.
Yeah, it's fucking, you know, it just, it smacks of a bunch of lawyers sitting around yelling, how do we make a fuck ton of money?
So
I've got it.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm reading this rather quickly, and I did not dig super deep into it. And truthfully, it's a brand new ruling, so we don't really know how this is going to be interpreted. But, I mean, the implications are that anything with a design on it, you can copyright the whole shape, not just the design. Now,
considering
to see if
that
gets held up, but
considering there's a whole industry around complaints of copyright now, this is just maddening.
Well, I mean, you can now apply this to fashion, right? So I don't guess you could copyright the generic concept of a cheerleader uniform. But, oh, your cheerleader uniform, the lines on it are similar to our lines? You can't make that. I mean, you know, how many? They all look the same anyways. They all have, you know, the same angular lines on it, usually pointing to the ass or the boobs. You know, that's what you do with cheerleaders. I mean, you know, it's you're going to be fighting. This is up there with Apple copywriting the curve of the phone. I mean, come on.
I just like to say I own straight lines now.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
yeah, it's keep an eye on what comes from it, but this is just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cycros, they were copywriting like the entire shape with certain curvatures of the corners of the rectangle of the iPhone, but it's still silly. Go ahead, BSV. I didn't mean to
cut you off. They just need to, instead of adding more stuff, they just need to simplify the. It's there's enough. Everybody was saying frivolous lawsuits. Was there an actual reason they thought this would be a good idea? Or did I just miss that?
Well, I skipped part of the article here. So, let's see. So, the deeper you get into this. So, Justice Breyer, with Justice Kennedy signing on, highlights why this doesn't make too much sense. If copyrights can only be applied to a piece of an artwork that is separable from the overall object, it needs to actually exist independently and shouldn't destroy the object itself. So that's the dissenting opinion. But I think pretty much they wanted to invent a new test to try to make copyright law easier to understand. And that has been a common complaint when it comes to copywriting physical objects, is because you can't copyright basic shapes, can't copyright, you're not supposed to be able to copyright the concept of a cup, the concept of pants, the concept of a desk, because it's an industrial useful shape. It has no art. You're only supposed to be able to copyright things of artistic merit. Now, whether you want to argue that the crucifix in a jar of piss has artistic merit or not is a question of taste. But you're really only supposed to be able to copyright things of artistic merit. So this non-separatable, or this being able to separate a design and still have the copyright stand as separate from the useful part of the object, if I'm understanding this correctly, which to be fair, I may not be, means that you can copyright the entire object. And so with something like a uniform, like a cheerleading uniform for schools, but there's only so many design patterns for these things that are going to look good, and you're going to have a couple of big design firms snap them all up and copyright all the shapes. And because copyright is now, God, 150 years or something like that, it's 50, or is it 75 years plus the life of the designer?
No idea.
I forget. Copyright law has gotten so stupid. It's not like patents, which expire after a couple of years. It's a length. Do the Googles. Let's see. Duration of copyright is life of the author plus 70 years, 95 years, or 120 years, depending on the nature of the authorship. Holy crap. So, okay, so that's anything copyrighted after January 1st, 1978. So, you were going to copyright a cheerleading uniform because most high schools use all the same variations of cheerleading uniforms with just different colors for the next 120 years plus the life of whoever drew the thing up and the design. So 200 years is probably not an unfair number. And since this is going to change again, because Mickey Mouse is going to be coming up with his copyright renewal here before too much longer, when's that come up? Because that's usually when it gets extended. Disney always lobbies for that. Mouse copyright. Disney now has until 2023.
They need to let
Disney
Mickey go.
But needs the immortal copyright of the mouse. How else are they going to pull in the souls of the children? That's how it works, right?
Something like that. I think it's just, you know, massive amounts of money. But
money, souls of children.
Thycross is hoping for Mad Max cheerleaders in the chat room there. I'm hoping they take more inspiration from, like, cosplay designs, because at least some of those are unique. But, I don't know. You're gonna have to see them start getting really, really creative.
You know when I said that I'm a visual sort of person? Please don't ever use anime, fucking cosplay, and cheerleading at the same time. Oh, gross.
Most of it's just variation on a leotard.
I'm just thinking, like, two pirate girls throwing like a tentacle thing in the air and
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking most of them are like sailor uniforms and leotards. So I mean,
are you that's you know, you not at least cheerleading? Get something that's different. Ribbon dancing.
Oh, whoa! Oh, okay. Oh no. Japanese shit got weird, man. After some reason, after we dropped a couple of big bombs on their island, they've been drawing Hello Kitty and tentacle porn ever since. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Radiation's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, there's your Fallout inspired. So, this, honestly don't know what's going to come of this, but it seems like maybe not a great idea. I'd kind of like to see copyright law get less restrictive and maybe go back to the original 25 years or whatever it was, because not so much that I think. Let's be real. The useful life of most copyrighted work is less than 25 years. Nobody gives a crap about, I don't know, 90s boy bands anymore. So, you know, why set us up for all these frivolous copyright lawsuits and going after torrenters and shit like that? And I mean, nowadays you can't even, there's stuff that's questionable because we don't even know if it's in the public domain or not, because we used to look for stuff from the 1900s to put on G15 or remix or whatever, and it's like, well, we can't actually figure out whether it's still under copyright or not. And, you know, we even did articles on the show talking about how there's these entire collections of work that nobody knows. So
I just figure anything I do digitally is illegal somewhere along the line.
Oh, probably. All right, let's.
That was the most boring conversation about fucking cheerleaders we've ever had.
Yeah, it really
is.
Move
on.
Well, I mean, we tried to, you know, talk about getting them in the cosplay costumes, and you got mad, so, you know.
Oh, goddamn American politics.
So, next one up.
Just the right mix of meds and alcohol.
Yep. All right, now that we're back, and I'm going to have to just splice the two recordings back together. I have no idea how that's going to sound because I don't know where it dropped.
It'll sound seamless.
It'll be fantastic.
It'll
be huge. Let's see. Do we talk about the... So I was starting to read on the...
We were starting to get to the broadband thing. Like you linked the article. I said, God damn it, Bobby, and everything crashed.
Yeah. All right. So, this bill passed. So let's see here. Bill SJ Resolution 34 passed. Looks like 50-48 the Senate. The resolution, which is now effectively half passed, will handle responsibility of broadband privacy regulation from the FCC to the FTC and disallow the FCC from making any rules protecting internet privacy ever again. So pretty much. The bill has not passed. Everyone is losing their shit right now, right? Because it passed the Senate. And, yeah, just let the cat at the soundboard for the slice. That'll work fantastically. But so this bill has not passed yet. It still has to pass the House. But effectively, it's going to take regulation of the internet from the FCC and give it to the FTC.
It's going to take what away exactly from
regulation
FCC
of the internet?
And give it to the FTC? Oh, that's a bad fucking idea.
Federal Trade Commission?
Yep.
Fuck.
Which means they see the lawmaker sees the internet as a business. Tool, not a communications tool.
Do you know how many crippling rules it's going to put America's online industry under?
A lot.
Let alone the amount of we're gonna have to go through this whole fucking region lock bullshit again.
I'd never liked the FCC regulating the internet either. I liked the idea of no regulation. Let's just leave it alone. Let's just let it run. But no, we're gonna get regulation.
Yeah, the internet's doing fine on its own right now as an organic fucking being.
Bring back the BBS connections.
Slow it all down again.
Well, no, now we've all got Wi-Fi, so you'll end up with Wi-Fi repeaters and, you know, shit like that. That'd actually be really badass, wouldn't it?
That would actually be kind of neat to have, like, so it's almost dark net, but point-to-point, long-haul wireless. You're going to have guys with huge...
But yeah.
Yeah, but... Oh, no, like super, super tight beam using, you know, 30 or 40 watt amplifiers that are kind of hodgepodge together. They're burning holes through fucking trees.
That's where I was going to go with that.
Yeah, so they can talk to their friend on the other side, like in a different region. Big old air quotes. I don't think anyone saw those.
The NSA.
Yeah.
So.
Won't
I'm
be
down.
BBS's though. It'll be fucking not. It'll be mostly open source stuff because you got to run it all at home, right? You won't be able to use data centers much for a lot of this stuff. So the companies will stay off of it. So it'll all be hodgepodge together. You know, somebody's got IRC server up somewhere, and you know, splits across the Wi-Fi whenever you know a truck goes past on the highway or whatever.
You just see it now. What happened to little Billy's face? He walked in front of the receiver.
So, I worked in high school at a TV station, and we had a long-haul radio backhaul to get, like, commercials and stuff from another city that was about 250 miles away. And about once a week, we could tell when we were getting a burst transmission because you would hear something thud on the roof. And you would go up there, and there was a pigeon that was dead because the burst came in.
Awesome.
And it cooked it. Like, it couldn't get out of the way fast enough because, of course, we didn't put the little, like, spandexy things over the dish.
Remember the, when we did IHN, there was that guy on American Warship who used to go on smoke break. And he used to stand near the really warm spot so he didn't get too cold. It just happened to be right next to the microwave receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy got cancer.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking smart.
It was warm.
Of course it's.
Build a man on fire, he'll be warm for a night. Set a man on fire, and he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
That's very true. So. All right, let's see. Hopefully, then fucking TeamSpeak server doesn't go down again. Let's see. Next article. I have absolutely no idea how we're doing for time, so I'm just gonna kind of go.
Screw it. We don't even like. Who cares about?
Fuck it. We do it live.
I mean, really?
At 20 minutes, you got left till you hit an hour.
Well, I don't. Are we counting all the dead air?
No, no, I'm not counting dead air.
Okay.
I'm going. By time started was 10 past. We had 15-minute outage, and it's coming up on the hour now.
All right, fair enough. So, this is from, I don't have the, I'm not going to mess with it to load the Zionist sound clip, but the Zionist Vice News, whatever the guy says, just because that was hilarious. It's from motherboard.vice.com. Why American farmers are hacking their tractors with Ukrainian firmware. To avoid the draconian locks that John Deere puts on tractors they buy, farmers throughout America's heartland have started hacking their equipment with firmware that's cracked in Eastern Europe and traded on invite-only paid online forums. Tractor hacking is growing increasingly popular because John Deere and other manufacturers have made it impossible to perform unauthorized repair on farm equipment, which farmers see as an attack on their sovereignty and quite possibly as an existential threat to their livelihood if their tractor breaks at an inopportune time. When crunch time comes and we break down, chances are we don't have time to wait for a dealership employee to show up and fix it, Danny Kluth, a hog farmer in Nebraska, told his state legislator earlier this month. Most all of the new equipment requires a download to fix it. The nightmare scenario and the fear he has heard expressed over and over again in talking with farmers is that John Deere could remotely shut down a tractor and there wouldn't be anything the farmer could do about it. A license agreement John Deere requires farmer to sign in October forbids nearly all repair and modification to farming equipment. So you're not actually buying the tractor, you're renting it and paying for all the maintenance.
Wow.
Yep.
So okay. I've had some very similar dealings with some motorcycle manufacturers. A very large, very well-known American maker of motorcycles does a very
Harvey
similar
Danielson?
You know, very close, something like that. Yeah,
not Indian.
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, and they're Canadian anyways now.
Really?
Yeah, they're
Indian bikes made in Canada now. Shit.
Indian is owned by BRP. BRP is owned by Polaris. Polaris is all Bombardier. It's all Canadian. But yeah, these other guys, in their like warranty stuff, if you replace a tire that's not a part number listed part, they will void your warranty.
Like the entire bike, not just for the wheel.
Yeah. Everything.
Well, I mean, check this out. So, a license agreement John Deere requires farmers to sign in October forbids nearly all repair and modification of farm equipment and prevents farmers from suing for crop loss, lost profits, loss of goodwill, loss of use of equipment arising from the performance or non-performance of any aspect of the software. The agreement applies to anyone who turns the key or otherwise uses a John Deere tractor with embedded software. So, they're actually doing this with copyright protections. We've talked about it before on the show. It means that only John Deere dealerships and authorized repair shops can work on newer tractors.
So it's like what you've been saying with cars. Are you just, you know, don't buy new cars?
No.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, I would agree with that.
Just download a new one.
Or remove the factory computer and put your own aftermarket one in.
Well, that's really what it's going to come down to, because eventually you're going to run out of old ass cars.
Don't get me wrong; it's really expensive to do that, because aftermarket computers are generally race orientated.
Well, if there's enough of a market of people just trying to fix their shit, they'll eventually. Now, somebody's going to figure out how to wire a Raspberry Pi or something on there. So, maybe not a Raspberry, but you know what I meant.
A Raspberry Pi would run a car.
Does it have an FIO?
Don't you need a shit ton of GPIO ports to connect to the CAN bus like that?
Maybe.
I don't think.
I don't know.
It's a model of car.
The Raspberry's only got like 30 some odd GPIO ports, so I don't know.
That's more than enough. You might have 20.
I've got a little project I'm planning on doing with one of the new Raspberry Zeros that's going to take a little micro OLED LED screen.
The only thing that makes me go no to the Raspberry idea is longevity of the Raspberry.
I've had good luck, actually, with mine.
Once you get everything in there, you dip the whole thing in epoxy. Yeah. And call it good.
Yeah, I'm going to let you guys do that. I'll stick with a Haltech system, thanks.
Well, yeah, you probably need to... You probably, if you're going to, you know, make your own car computer out of a Raspberry, you probably need to build quite the protection circuitry to protect the little 5-volt board. Because most of it actually runs on 3 volts, so...
Oh, yeah. And so jamming 12 volts into it or 14 volts into it's not going to be real.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's not a constant 14 or 12 volts. It's fluctuating.
No, you'll have to build a power supply for it.
Well, I think it probably has more computing power than most of the ECUs.
Well, maybe. I think it depends on... I mean, because the ECU is controlling your timings. And so I think the real question there would be, could you get equivalent software to run on the damn thing?
Yeah, look, I'm not an expert on it, so I don't really want to comment on it.
The biggest thing, I think, would be traction control and stability control, stuff like that. Engine management is easy.
Yeah, like that's just a mapping program.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not watching it the entire time. It says, are you running? Are you at this RPM or in this RPM range? Cool, this is your stuff.
Yeah, like fuel load map shedding and stuff like that.
Huh. Now I kind of wonder if you could take your existing ECU, dump its firmware somehow. It's got to have a JTAG port on the damn thing somewhere. And... you know, see if you can recompile it. I guess it would depend on what kind of chip they're running, too.
People have already done it.
Yeah, I've got an auto lecky down the road, does race cars, so I'm going to go talk to him on the weekend, see what he has to say.
He'll probably laugh his ass off. It's like, so I was talking to this asshole on the internet who said he thinks he could put a Raspberry in for the ECU.
Well, I just want to see what he says, you know, hypothetically, could it be done? You know, and how much work would it take, and is it a viable way of doing things? Because if it is... I'm thinking of a business.
Yeah.
If you've got farmers jailbreaking tractors, I'm thinking there's a business in this.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
And you're not, you know, it's not like a tractor is a super high performance piece of machinery.
Well, it's not exactly low tech. I think BSV will attest to some of that John Deere equipment being pretty bleeding edge when it comes to mechanics and hydraulics.
I don't know about John Deere, but other experience, there's a good amount of tech in...
I mean, a lot of the newest stuff is self-drive. You don't even need to be in it. GPS'd.
Yeah, well, you still need to be in it. It just helps coordinate everything.
I kind of want to finish the article because some of this stuff is just nuts.
Dude, if you throw a 90-kilo bag of rice in the front seat, tractor thinks there's a person there, and it'll go itself.
Because so, you have cruise control doesn't mean that you have autopilot.
You just wire no, open the dead man switch. You wire open that dead man switch, and that tractor's automatic then.
So, if a farmer bought the tractor, he should be able to do whatever he wants with it, Kevin.
Right.
Kenny, a farmer and the right to repair advocate in Nebraska, told me, or the author of the article, if you want to replace a transmission and you take it to an independent mechanic, he can put in a new transmission, but the tractor can't drive out of the shop. Deere charges $230 plus $130 an hour for a technician to drive out and plug in a connector with their USB port to authorize the part. What you've got is technicians running around here with cracked Ukrainian John Deere software that they bought off the black market. So you've got guys who go online, they get the black market John Deere controller firmware. You know, they pay $100 for it online. They run around and charge $50-$60 for the guys to hack the tractors to... Let's see, what's he say? Kenny include they've been pushing for the right to repair in Nebraska that would invalidate John Deere's license agreement. Seven other states are considering similar bills. In the meantime, farmers have started hacking their machines because even simple repairs are made impossible by the embedded software within the tractor. Deere is one of the staunchest opponents of the legislation. There's software out there a guy can get his hands on if he looks for it. One farmer and repair mechanic in Nebraska uses cracked John Deere software, told the author. I'm not a big business or anything, but let's say you got a guy here who has a tractor and something goes wrong with it. The nearest dealership is 40 miles away. But you got me or a diesel shop a mile away. The only way we can fix things is illegally, which is what's holding back free enterprise more than anything and hampers the farmer's ability to get stuff done. So they've got some screenshots here. There's a program somebody was selling for $100. There's another one just for loading a different firmware on there that they want, 500 euros for. And 1,000 for the database to go with it. But I'll bet if you're reselling, going around fixing tractors for people, or just popping the firmware so they can do their own fixes, you probably make that money back really quickly, charging somebody $50 to reset their firmware.
It's a farming community, man. You're gonna get known real quick by everybody.
And $50 a pop is.
They never actually list the prices out here because what these guys are doing is violating law, but. I'm guaranteeing that they're not charging hundreds of dollars because the guy's complaining about $230 and $150.
Well, you think about it. You call John Deere up, and he's 40 mile away at $140 an hour. They're billing you from when they leave the lot to when they get back to the lot. So that could be 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And he's only done 20 minutes worth of work by plugging in a laptop.
Well, at the end of the article with the guy saying, so what happens in 20 years when there's a new tractor out and Deere doesn't want to fix these anymore? Are we just supposed to throw the tractor in the garbage? Well, actually, according to John Deere, yes. They want you to buy a new one.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so cracked software in the automotive industry is not that uncommon. On the motorcycle side, I know tons and tons of racers who, if you want to change the tuning on your motorbike because you have all these race parts on it, well, the ECU is locked down, so you can't do anything unless you're a dealership. But then if you go to the dealership, they're like, nope, we're not going to unlock that because if it's on the road, then we could get in trouble. And there's all this. So, we've all gone to sketchy software that'll crack the ECU and let us, do what we want to it.
I'm surprised nobody just breaks into a mechanic's garage and swipes the flash drive with the... I mean, seriously.
If the bike world's anything like the car scene used to be with all Japanese tuners and stuff like that, it happens everywhere, but no one fucking talks about it.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Yeah, I got that done. Yeah, fucking did this, that, and that, but you never tell them how you did it.
Yep. Well, and there's so on the motorcycle side, it's weird. So motorcycle regulations are a little different than passenger vehicles, where you can put a little sticker on it that says not for road use, and then they sell it. And so there are some piggyback ECUs. And how most of the aftermarket exhausts, if you look at a motorcycle aftermarket exhaust, look on the back, there'll be stamped on it somewhere that says not for road use.
I love some of this stuff. I used to put on ornamental only.
Oh, yeah. Like a really big turbo that's...
Yeah. You know, this is not for using purpose. It's ornamental. Exhaust it is.
All right, let's do the next one here. This is from fiercehealthcare.com. I don't know that fierce is a good adjective for healthcare, but okay. Nearly half as many patient records were exposed as a result of a data breach in February compared to the month prior. We're talking about this year. With far fewer incidents linked to hacking. Nearly 60% of the breaches last month were the result of insider threats, and some organizations failed to discover a breach that had occurred more than 5 years. That's according to the most recent breach barometer report from Proteus, which identified 31 breach incidents in February involving more than 206,000 patient records. Insiders were responsible for 18 of those incidents, nearly half of which were linked to insider wrongdoing. So people are stealing records and, you know, selling them. But it took organizations 478 days on average from the time a breach occurred to the time the Department of Health and Human Services was notified, more than twice as long as breaches identified in the previous month. In two specific instances, a breach went undetected for more than 5 years. Dude, look at your firewall logs. Look at what's leaving your network every once in a while. Although a recent survey shows cybersecurity has become an executive-level priority, several recent reports have highlighted security vulnerabilities still plague the healthcare industry. So, insiders, that would be your nurses and janitorial staff mostly, are walking out the records.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
Look how shocked I am.
Yep.
Like, doctors do it like, oh, so I've seen people yell at doctors, and this is like mid-level IT staff, like, flipping out on doctors because they have an armful of paper records and a computer laptop, and they're like, well, I'm just going to do charting from the coffee shop. And it's like, no, you can't. You actually can't. Then get the fuck back in here.
You are violating so many laws. Well, I don't care.
Yeah, they're like, but I need to do my charting.
Doctors are very, very smart, intelligent creatures. Don't spook them.
Don't spook them.
All right. I like Fox's whole analogy on it. They took a dump in stats when it comes to medicine. Fucking retarded at everything else.
Yes, they are. It looks like Fierce Healthcare mainly centers around proctology.
Oh, wow.
Oh, fuck!
Rocket snail.
Next article is from investmentwatchblog.com and is kind of funny. Pressure is going on Twitter's chief executive Jack Dorsey to step down after it was alleged that up to 48 million of its accounts, about 50% of its users, were bots. Twitter last week was hit by a report from professors at University of Southern California and University of Indiana that estimated as many as 15% of the social media site's 319 million users were not human. That is nearly twice the company's own estimate that up to 8.5% of its accounts are managed by bots. The charge is particularly damaging for Twitter because it's already struggling to convince advertisers to return to its platform. Dorsey, 40, is one of the site's co-founders and returned as chief executive. Investors in the UK aren't the only ones happy with Dorsey. Last week, billionaire investor Chris Sacca, one of the network's earliest investors, said he hates Twitter stock and took issue with the fact that millions of Twitter's accounts are bots. The investor hasn't owned shares of Twitter for a couple of years, and he said he lost hope after Twitter failed to bring back co-founder Evan Williams. Love the scene, hate the stock. Host of ABC Shark Tank tweeted in response to a question from a fan. So, short version, the Twitter CEO is actually being held to account because they think a large percentage of the users are bots because they always sold the service just on its user count. There's no actual value in Twitter. I don't know how you would make money off of it.
I'm just looking at stock price. Currently, it's trading down 0.6. And over the 5 years, it's shit itself, man. Like,
well, they ran half their audience off.
Yeah. They're down like 40%.
Following any bots on Twitter. except for the Mars rover. I'm following Mars rover because. But is that still considered a bot?
I don't know. Is it still moving? I heard two of its wheels had developed cracks.
Yeah, it's still going. It's still out there doing the science thing.
Cool. So apparently they're... I was just kind of Googling because you mentioned earlier that they're trying to do a pay service. Apparently they're trying to, you know, you pay for access to new data and analytics tools, like apparently a modified version of TweetDeck and some shit like that. So... yeah, I don't know, man. It's I don't honestly.
It's like Snapchat. Where's the value?
I don't think it's gonna last. I think somebody's gonna buy it. They're gonna turn it into a big advertising platform, and it's just gonna nobody wants it. I know everybody's gonna be all mad that Twitter's shutting down, but nobody's gonna do anything about it. That or they'll demand the government take it over or some other stupid bullshit.
I work out well with the government right now.
Yeah, someone in the government is going to be like, well, we'll just take it over. Too big to fail or something.
Is that way they can put like a time delay on the president's post and keep him looking like a total retard?
He's going to be the one
Trump's
going to
do it just
it
so
over.
He can keep tweeting.
Yeah.
Like, no, we have to save Twitter before Trump figures out he can send the message, the broadband messages to phones.
Oh, God.
What's that called? That thing where he can do the presidential notification system to all the cell phones? Nobody tell him.
And everything Google's touched is like tanking in the market right now.
But on the plus side, Merps, if we do get a message from the president on a cell phone, it means he listens.
That would actually be awesome. Can you imagine getting the message on the phone from Trump? Thumbs up, G15ing.
Hashtag not fake news.
Yeah, that's great for about 60 seconds till we realize what exactly just happened.
Yeah, God, they're gonna go through the archives.
That way when we can start talking about Fry's Electronics, and they'll actually pay us to stop.
All right, let's do this BBC story and then the robot brothel story. Do that.
A what? Story?
You heard me.
I'm real interested.
This one's from BBC and was sent to me by RU. 6 weeks ago, a young woman called Zed, not her real name, was in a meeting at work when a message popped up on her Facebook Messenger from a distant friend. "Hey, babe," it began. The friend invited Zed to vote for her in an online modeling competition, which she agreed to do, but then disaster. Adding her email address to the competition register had caused a tech meltdown, her friend said. She needed to borrow her email to log in quick and fix it quickly and restore her votes. This is the worst scam.
Barely not, because it worked.
I'm betting Zed's IQ is rather high.
Zed was unsure. The friend begged. Her career was at stake, she pleaded. Still in the meeting, powerless to make a call, Zed gave in, and a momentary leap of faith. Except it was not her friend she was talking to. Someone else had gotten to the account, was pretending to be her. It's a scamming technique known as spear phishing. Okay, that is the worst example of spear phishing I've ever read.
Wow. The really good ones, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, they knew who their target was. That's so.
I'm betting Zed spends a lot of money on makeup every month.
Now, to be fair, you're right. This is spear phishing. There's no doubt about that. This is just the silliest example I've read. Normally, they pretend to be the CEO and email somebody who has the ability to do wires in a company or something. Anyways, spear phishing uses behavioral psychology to trick victims into trusting the attacker in order to gain sensitive information, said Paul Biscoff of Comparatech, who also talked to Zed. Spear phishing is less prevalent before more dangerous. Spear phishing targets an individual or small group of people. The attacker can gather personal information about their target and build up a more believable persona. Besides never sharing credentials for online accounts, a good way to stay safe is to enable two-step authentication. So, you know, use your phone, usually a Google Authenticator Duo, get a LastPass, or no, LastPass doesn't do it.
I'm betting Zed's two-step verification was, "Hey, Jody, is that you? Hey, Jody, is that really you?"
So within minutes, Zed watched in horror as she was locked out of one account after another. Oh, yeah, you let her into your email, dumbass. As well as her Apple iCloud, where she stored all of her data, including a photo of her passport, bank details, and explicit pictures. Why do you have photos of your passports and bank details in iCloud?
Why do you give your email information to a random stranger on the internet? Because you're a fucking retard, that's why.
And explicit photos. Well, she wouldn't be the first
one. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Is it bad that now we're all like, yeah, explicit photos, whatever, but what the fuck are you doing with your passport?
it's like, okay, oh no, they saw you naked, so what? Most of the internet has seen everyone naked at this point.
So, funny story about pictures on passports. People are like, oh, why would you have that? So, there have been a couple of companies that I've worked for that... If you wanted to get passport information, what you needed to do is you went to the secretary for any of the executive secretaries, because the executive secretaries are the ones who are making flight arrangements and hotel arrangements. Mm-hmm. So they have all of the whoever they're working for, they have all of their information so they can go and book the flights. A really fun thing. It's like you don't go through the CEO's desk. You go through the secretary.
CEO don't know shit 9 times out of 10. They just kind of run around, go to meetings and handshake. The secretaries are the ones who get the real work done and usually have all the passwords and all the connections. Honest People don't email. Question it when they get an email from the secretary saying such and such wants this.
Yep.
Yeah, I've observed the exact same behavior. No argument there. Within minutes, Zed watched in horror as she was locked out. Oh, I've already read this. The scammer also activated an extra layer of security called two-step authentication, meaning that they received all alerts about her accounts and could reset them. So they put the two-step on their account and locked her out of her own accounts. Then a man called. The number had a Pakistan area code. Where's the phone?
Holy
That's not the right one. Anyways,
let me guess. The phone call went, "Hello, ma'am. This is my Ahmed Vermont in Microsoft. You have a deacon dispute the problems."
So, let's see. He started the call by saying he didn't want any drama. He didn't want me to cry. He wanted me to talk to him like a professional, she said. He sounded young, perhaps a college student, she thought. He accused her of leading an immoral life. He had seen her photographs. He knew she had smoked. Oh, horror of horrors. And had boyfriends and was sexually active.
Mother of God.
He asked her what her parents would think and was furious when she said they already knew.
Stick that up your ass, Muhammad, you faggot.
He claimed he had hacked thousands of women, Zed said. He said 10 or 12. And he felt bad about because he couldn't find anything about them that was wrong. Zed was not part of that group. He says he was happy when he hacked my account, that I deserved everything.
Let me guess, he's behind 9 proxies.
Yeah, probably.
I just want to know how Zed knew that it was Pakistani area code. Like, if it came up on my phone, I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
I probably just wouldn't answer it, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
Let's see. He told her that he would post the explicit photos on her Facebook page, where she has more than 1,000 friends. Okay, nobody actually has 1,000 friends. She has 1,000 people on Facebook who want to look at her pictures. So they'd be very happy if you posted the explicit.
He would probably double or triple that.
Yeah. I offered him money. I asked if I'm having more fun with the dramatic reading than I am the actual content of the story. I offered him money. I asked if I could pay. He said, "Don't talk about money." He sounded irritated and said he wanted her to perform a sex act for him on camera. Yes, she is the one leading the immoral life, not the guy blackmailing girls by hacking their accounts and asking them to strip on webcam.
I give you back your account if you put shoe on head.
Fucking Sharpie and Pooper, thanks.
Bring out the gear!
Not both.
Oh, fuck. Zed refused. Either you do it for me or you do it for the whole world, he told her, and uploaded one of the photos to Facebook. Zed had already warned her boyfriend and parents, who had assembled an army of friends waiting to report activity on her account. Within 15 minutes, it had been disabled by Facebook, but she still received concerned messages from contact. A friend who is like a brother sent me a message. It wasn't him who had seen the photo, but a friend of his, she said. I feel like I mustn't think too much about how many people saw the photos. Why, you know, photos like that probably shouldn't end up in your iCloud account, for God's sake. Anyways,
guaranteed that friend of that dude, he's like saving it, and he's like, dude, check this out, and he's like, he's live tweeting it.
Yeah, we'll go check 4chan. I bet we can find him.
Beta friend zone, fucking dude. He's been frozen out for 20 years. Fucking saves, archive, yeah. Sup, B, trips and get fucking nudes of my girl.
Last thing Scammer said to her was, have a great life.
Oh, jeez. And of course, that dude is saving it to his iCloud as well. Oh, you know. That's what you do.
It seemed to me the only reason he was doing this was to morally police women and get them to do stuff for him, said Sid. He wanted a gallery of explicit photographs of women. It's called Google? What the fuck?
Yeah, Google, 4chan, motherless.
God damn it, Huckmed.
Zed does not consider herself to be digitally naive. She's a bright, articulate 20-something from India who works in the media industry on the U.S. East Coast. I've been tech-savvy on the internet almost my entire life. Well, you come from a lot of tech support, so...
Wait, is it India or Indiana?
No, it says India. I-N-D-I-A.
Well...
Did I not post the link?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I might possibly be working.
No, it's India. Yeah, regaining control of her accounts has been a struggle. It took Zed a month to get her Apple ID back after engineers created a bespoke questionnaire for her containing answers that were not stored in her account. Damn. Gmail and Facebook have also been restored. She has lost her Snapchat and Hotmail address, her central account, which she used more than 13 years. So,
the same password on everything.
Dude, when the Lord Humongous is at the gates of your fucking passwords and shit, just walk away, man. It's not worth the fight.
I say, are you that guy who got into that old email account you used to use? They wanted naked pictures of you, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, dude. And I just would not stop sending them. The guy gave me that fucking... he gave it all back. He regrets doing that.
It's like, oh, this was a troll account. Fuck.
Yeah, here you go.
And it was really funny when I started sending photos of his wife to him. Yeah, real upset.
Last article I have for tonight is from express.co.uk. Europe's first sex robot brothel forced out of base as prostitutes complain of competition. The headline's the only funny part of the story. The rest of it's actually kind of sad. They do have a video showing how they make real dolls. So, you know, you can watch them shove the...
So, men are being given the choice to fuck a doll or fuck a chick, and they're fucking a doll first.
But
right?
They're calling them sex... That's the funniest part, is they're calling them sex robots.
The question is... Is it cheaper? Like, is it purely a financial thing? Like, is it real person for €100 or the doll for $5?
So let me read the article, because they do have some pricing for the dolls in there, and I'll leave it to your expert opinion. So Europe's first sex robot brothel has been forced to move after real life prostitutes complained sex dolls were stealing their trade. The original location in Barcelona at 2 Braxia de Sant Miquel has been in the Spanish city's Gothic quarter north of the cathedral. But the brothel, not far from La Rambla in the heart of the city, has now moved to a mystery new location, with the receptionist saying the address would only be given out to paying customers. Prostitutes who work in the city with AproSex, the Association of Sex Professionals, objected, saying a doll cannot match the services of a real person and degenerates real sex workers to merely being an object.
And
I like Cyclops' argument, the doll doesn't have syphilis.
Well, so doesn't have it.
They have, yes, like, sir. You know, replaceable cores, and they can just pop one out, stick it in the dishwasher, sterilizer.
Dude, if I'm paying five fucking euros, you want to bet I'm not sliding the last fucking dude's dump out?
and fucking put it in my own sleeve. I want someone else to fucking do that.
Psychosis.
Maybe they could
ahead.
Get the
stop
fucking
that,
out
sir.
Of work prostitutes to do it.
stop reading ahead, dude. Come on. All right. The statement on the website reads, "The sex affection of a person cannot be provided by a doll. They are different and compatible services. They do not communicate." Okay.
Yeah, you're still winning. The doll is still winning.
They do not listen to you or caress you. They do not comfort you or look at you. They do not give you their opinion or drink a glass of champagne with you. Janet, a prostitute with over 30 years in the industry.
I was kind of
hoping
Blake
would show up tonight so he could
changed.
Do his calculations.
It needs to be like the 40-pack a day. These robots can drink a glass of champagne with you. This is another strategy the patriarchy represents as sex objects without a soul.
Who works in the city's... quit reading ahead, Sarg. Damn it. Who works in the city's Revolt District said, "It's another strategy in the of the patriarchy that represents us as objects without rights or souls, a privilege of the wealthy class." She added, "The initiative was a fetish for many men and women who wish to return to a childhood lacking in attention." Damn, there's the knife. I mean, it's like, oh, your parents didn't love you if you want to fuck a real doll.
Well, that's why you're being a prostitute.
municipal police in the
hang on. So you're telling me the cum dumpster is fucking bitching out dudes for not having a fucking life? Wow.
Municipal police in the Catalonian capital also launched an investigation into the legality of the brothel, which offered clients sex with realistic, state-of-the-art polymer sex dolls after it opened late last month. So these are not robots; these are real dolls. Of course, I'm a little confused about some of the pictures here because they've got that uncanny valley death stare going on.
Oh, God, yeah.
But if I watched the video earlier just because it was fucking, you know, morbid curiosity at this point, and they actually show making the real dolls, and it's just like, wow, they shoved the fake badge in there with a stick.
Well, and
I mean,
that,
you know,
that's
kind
you
of morbid
know how
fascination and
made.
At the same time creepy as fuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I've don't ask, just don't. We all know the show that I've done before. So I've been to a place where this person had a couple of them, and you can replace out different looking and supposedly feeling orifice.
Good.
It's watching them do it though is quite
it's disturbing.
It is, yeah.
At least it was like, in the video where they're just taking a fake cooch, putting it on the stick, and jamming it in there. It's like, my God.
That's exactly
it looks almost
what
like
it
a
is.
Person.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a person. So it's like, oh, he's going to kill that. Oh, that's a doll. What the fuck? So, anyways, so they're not even certain if it's legal business. I don't know how it'd be illegal. But did they write a law yet? When they tried to carry out
there'll
a
there'll be sex for money.
Yeah, I don't know. When the authorities tried to carry out a routine investigation, they discovered the business had moved out of the premises. The owner of the venue claimed that they were not aware of what the property was being used for and only became aware of it when they recognized the walls from the photographs published on the internet. The owner has since canceled the tenancy agreement with the Lumi Dolls entrepreneurs. When contacted, the brothel's receptionist said they could not give out much information, but the business was still operating. Loom Dolls, a pun on Spanish slang term for prostitute, is believed to be the first such brothel to open in Europe after similar venues in places like Japan and China were hugely popular. Brothel offered the services of four lifelike dolls, which cost around £4,373 or $4,300 or €5,000 to produce and are made in the U.S. out of thermoplastic elastomer. Charging punters around £105 or €120 for 2 hours with the doll.
Oh, yeah, no. 2 hours?
That's a cuddle with it afterwards? What the fuck?
Yeah. I they had a thing on here. Should Luma dolls be allowed to continue as a brothel? 95% people said yes.
So here's the question.
It's $1 a minute.
So these things are basically a giant. These things are basically giant cast silicone, right?
Yeah.
Do they have like, I don't know, heaters or something in them? Because I mean, the phrase "cold fish" would come to mind.
It's a feature.
It's a feature. I mean, wow. Do they like give you a space heater to put it next to for a bit to get it?
Maybe
up
they store them in like a jacuzzi or something.
It's a jacuzzi.
that
you know,
can
probably,
be done.
That's probably how they do it.
So remember, I told you you can take out the orifice sign. Well, you can take them out. Sure. You can put it in the microwave.
Oh, Bernie's. Ow, that's burning.
That's Oh, that's a prank you got to play on some people at the office.
Wow, that's
your
one.
Body vagina in the office microwave.
That's a hell of a Friday on. Meeting. You know?
You imagine them holding it up in the lost and found? All right, whose is this?
Right in the middle of the boardroom table.
Just walk out and chuck it on the table. Okay, guys.
Who ordered the roast beef burrito?
And this is why no females work in the company here. God damn it.
Okay. Yo! Hadouken! You know, after that story, I should have played the old Digital Dojo sound. Alright, just to wrap up, all I have for Digital Dojo tonight is this interesting website called opsschool.org. If you kind of already know the game, you're going to find this website really boring. If you don't, it's actually a fairly decent... If you're curious what your IT people who run the network actually do, this is a really nice primer. It's kind of a mile wide and an inch deep, truth be told, but there's a lot of good, like, 101, 201 kind of data in here. I'm sorry, what did you say, Fox?
Almost like our year's mom.
Yeah, kind of. You know. But there's, you know, a lot of different stuff in here. Syslog, parsing, databases, setting up data centers, different conventions, architecture, configuration management. Like I said, it's not really all that deep into any of these topics. But if you're wanting an overview of what your sysadmins actually do during the day, a lot of this is kind of a primer.
Interesting.
Or if you're like a help desk guy and you just got promoted to operations and you don't really know much, this would be a good place to start, because if there's enough in here, you can probably start playing with systems and, you know, get the rest of what you need, or at least get a hint at what to Google for.
There's a Security 202 class.
It gets you asking the right questions anyway while you're learning.
Yeah, there you go. Security 202?
Well, yeah, there's a 101. A 101 and a 201. All
right. Let's see what we got here. Centralized accounts with LDAP and Kerberos. This is Security 201. Is LDAP and Kerberos an Active Directory? Really?
Yeah,
like I said, mile wide, inch deep. Actually, it looks like it's incomplete on a lot of these topics. SE Linux and AppArmor aren't even filled out. That's too bad. A good SE Linux guide is worth its weight, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So AppArmor not so much. That one's a little easier to deal with, but it doesn't block as much either. We used to write SE Linux on sent machines around machines that we knew had vulnerabilities, and it would actually work and prevent the buffer overflows from executing and shit. Servers would still crash out, but you know, at least wouldn't get rooted. So anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site. I got some ideas for it, but I haven't really had a chance to do much here lately. Of course, the subreddit's probably the best place to do for feedback. That's all I got. Anybody got anything they want to throw out before we close things out here?
And for all the single guys out there, fucking do your washing up this week. Make an effort.
But
I know you use paper plates. Lazy bastards.
And it's not just go see a real hooker, because the fake ones are the same price.
Well, that's when you gotta look. Does the, you know, which one has more scars? You know,
You know what? Sometimes that's the fun.
You know, because I imagine one of these well-ridden real dolls, by the time you get to it, if it's, you know, been a popular brothel, there's going to be chunks out of it. One of the eyes might be scratched out. I mean, these things are going to look pretty messed up after a couple of weeks, you know?
Oh, God, it's like a rental car where, like, the person has to come in the room with you and you, like, circle any defects on it.
Oh, man, that's just adding to the sex experience right there.
Oh, it's the guy in the polo with the clipboard. Like,
now just imagine somebody afterwards epoxying the damage afterwards.
Doing the bad repairs.
So, you want this real doll for 2 hours? Would you like full coverage insurance with that? Yes, please. I'm going to wreck this bitch.
It's like,
oh my God, sir, what are you doing? Just checking out the transmission.
Testing it for stress fractures.
Just checking out the suspension, bro.
And we fucking got it by the ankle, smashing it against the wall. The guy's like, what the fuck, man? He's like, don't tell me how to fuck. My uncle was doing this to me when I was 5, and I'll do it to everyone.
Don't tell me.
They walk in, you've got it half apart. No, I find this sexier.
I thought it was made of chocolate, and that was the wrapping. Glenda, we said no more autistics. Come on. Oh, you know. It's okay.
You have the guy sheepishly poking his head out of the door. So, it turns out while you can fuck the ear, it's not meant for it.
Oh, man.
Well, you just have to tell them ahead of time so they can swap it out.
Oh. Do you guys have a replacement face? This one, the last one fell off in the tub.
What do you mean it only has 8.5 fingers? I like to fuck Simpsons characters.
Wait a minute. Does the real doll have scars? How did he get scars? Oh, well, after the last guy split it in half, we just took a hot knife and, you know. Oh, this is fucked up. I need to close the show before this gets any worse. We've just surpassed IHN.
Sir,
that's
what are you doing?
We don't have the panda porn sex story on here that I sent to Artie last week.
The problem is you're going to get a John Wayne Gacy style guy in there.
He's going to come out wearing the doll's skin.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
So are they going to like... Are they gonna start checking everyone's backpacks? Like, okay, cool. Like, you've got like the dildos and the whatever. Like, nope. You gotta leave the knife. The knife is no. And, oh.
How many times have we told you, Bill? No corking gun.
Bring it.
Yeah, people are gonna be smuggling shit in.
And that just becomes even more confusing. On how the hell did they cut that thing in half?
You imagine being the guy who has to clean up the doll after it's done?
Bob, it's happened again.
I think it's like inside out pressure again. Washer. Like one of those things they use in commercial kitchens, like just slides that big metal box over it and just blasts the shit out of it with 9,000 degree water.
You go in the room, oh fuck, not again. They made a noose out of the bed sheets. just hanging.
Oh, the potential.
But just as long as you don't find the nice, customer with
it. Nice,
you know, I'm
Cycros said it's a job for the prostitutes who lost their job. They can clean out the real dolls.
Oh, my joke. My joke.
Well, and if they weren't $5,000,
there'd be a lot more of them out there, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, one, there'd be a lot more of them out there, but two, I really think that a pure decking meetup group would, like, have to
I am
happen.
Not sharing sex just... toys with you guys. Fuck it, I'm out.
Well, no, you just show up, it's like, okay, are you, have fun, like, this is for you.
No.
And then we would come back, and it would be in 14 pieces, and Artie would just be sitting in the corner rocking.
No. It's this group. You'd come back and we'd be sliced into it, installing Arduinos and shit. It's like, what? No, they said sex robot. We're making a fucking robot.
We're making it a robot.
And then, you know, it goes Terminator and starts killing somebody.
You mean that wasn't our goal? After we advised the plans.
Somebody check the program. BSV was having fun again. It's like, what happened? Well, we were a little short on time, so instead of programming an AI, we just took one out of Quake. And
no, we fun. Just we just shoved an Amazon Echo into it.
Siri, bend over.
It's coming. You know it's coming.
Yeah, just as long as we don't hook it up to the internet. We all know what happens then.
You'd have three choices.
Finish your choices. I haven't done preparing yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I know. Yeah. You have three choices. You have Cortana, Siri, or Alexa.
Well, since they're very small devices, you can figure out which one likes being abused.
Same time.
You're going with the split personality model. Got it.
Oh, man.
This way I can stick my dick in crazy and then it just reformat it at the end.